This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Sharzana and Xiaoning. But we are taking a look at currencies. The ringgit has fallen by 9% to the greenback on a year-to-date basis, a level that hasn't been seen since the Asian financial crisis in 1998. It's currently hovering around 4.5 against the US dollar, and there's growing speculation that the ringgit could hit the unthinkable psychological level of 5.
Well, we're not too far because this morning, US dollar against the ringgit, as I speak, is 4.5487. So some view the weakening currency as an indication that Malaysia's economy is on the rocks. But seen more holistically, while the ringgit is weaker when compared to the dollar, it has strengthened against other currencies, including the yen, pound sterling and the euro. So how do we make sense of the relative value of currencies? And should we be more concerned about the structural issues driving ringgit weakness?
For some analysis on this, we have on the line with us business commentator Pankaj C. Kumar. Pankaj, good morning. Now, many people are sounding the alarm at the falling ringgit value against the US dollar, especially since it's crossed the psychological mark of 4.5 ringgit. What are the main factors pushing down the value of the ringgit?
Good morning, ladies, and thank you for having me on the show. I think we can all agree that when one talks about a particular currency, the comparison with another currency is always a relative comparison. And this comparison itself can be due to the strength and weakness of the base currency against the weakness and strength of the currency that is being compared with. So in the case of US dollar, as we are aware, US have been having very high inflation prints, yeah. And part of the reason is due to the significantly higher commodity prices, which has also led to higher prices at the factory gate, as we have seen, very high readings on the producer price index. The headline core inflation, as well as headline and core personal consumption expenditure, which is what the Fed basically looks at over the past year. So one of the reasons for the dollar strength has been this monetary policy divergence, yeah, whereby the Fed has been aggressive. As you know, the Fed has raised interest rates or the Fed fund rate as much as 225 basis points so far this year. And what happened, for example, last week was the core inflation and as well as the headline inflation coming in slightly above expectations, and market repriced, yeah, expectations as to how much Fed will be raising rates to the extent that, you know, the Fed is meeting this week and 75 basis point hike is already been priced in. Yeah. And this will likely be followed by potentially by another 75 basis point in November and 50 basis point in December. So this will take the Fed fund rate, yeah, to between 4.25 to 4.5%. Yeah. And with that, that would mean the Fed would have raised interest rates by as much as 425 basis points. Yeah, the most aggressive among all major central banks. Yeah, so even looking at the monetary policy divergence itself, you already can see the dollar strength has been supported by this. And of course, yeah, and of course, other than monetary policy divergence, I think there's also the high correlation between ringgit and the Chinese yuan, yeah, and we tend to move in the same direction. And as you know, the yuan has been relatively weak over the past year or so, more so this year, mainly because of the slowing economy, you know, and as well as the COVID-19 measures, lockdown. Yeah, all this is affecting the Chinese yuan. Malaysia itself, if you look at ourselves in terms of why are we weak, for example. In a way, we are lucky. We're not running twin deficits. We still have surplus in current account, but we are running huge budget deficits, yeah, over the last quarter of century thereabouts. And of course, there are other factors that also affects the strength of the currency or the weakness of the currency.
But Pankaj, is the ringgit truly performing as badly as some politicians are claiming? Because if you compare other currencies against the US dollar, like the pound and the yen, they have also depreciated.
You are right, Xiaoning. As measuring currency is always relative, right? It is understandable when the general public or the politicians, for that matter, refer to the ringgit strength or weakness as only when compared with the US dollar and the Sing dollar. Yeah, but if you look at it against the pound, like you mentioned, the euro, the yen, the Korean won, the Thai baht, the Philippine peso, The ringgit has been gaining ground, not only year to date, but over the past year and 5 years, as I've analyzed recently. So while against the Aussie dollar, as well as the Indonesian rupiah, the ringgit has actually recouped its weakness against these two currencies with a stronger performance year to date. So while we are fixated by comparing the ringgit against the dollar as well as the Sing dollar, the ringgit has relatively performed well against seven other currencies. Yeah. So on that basis, I wouldn't say that, you know, the ringgit is that weak.
But Pankaj, do we have a gauge of the true value of the ringgit then? I hear that we're looking at it in relative terms, but how do we determine what the actual value of our currency is? And at this stage, is it undervalued?
Yeah, as currencies are valued on a relative basis by comparing one currency with another, an alternative approach is to look at what we call the real effective exchange rate, yeah, which actually takes into account the weighted average of a currency in relation to an index or a basket of other major currencies. Yeah, so the weights are actually based on comparing the relative trade balance of a currency against each country in the index. This information is actually provided by Bank of International Settlement on a monthly basis. And if you want to plot the real effective exchange rate against the US dollar ringgit exchange rate, you will see that there's a very high correlation of approximately negative 0.95, suggesting that the real effective exchange rate has a significant impact on the value of the US dollar ringgit exchange rate. Yeah, so if one were to gauge the real effective exchange rate as a reference point, the ringgit is effectively undervalued based on my last calculated figure, was about 16.8%, because the reading is about 82 point something. Yeah, because a neutral real effective exchange rate is actually at 100. So at this level, if you take 100 as a benchmark, the ringgit should be worth about 389 to the US dollar. And if you take the average over the last 17 years, the real effective exchange rate is actually about 93.3 points. And that will take the ringgit value to about 417. So effectively, the ringgit is undervalued. Of course, there are other ways to look at the ringgits, whether it's undervalued or overvalued, or other currencies for that matter. We can use the Big Mac index, yeah. But I think that's not really a reflection of a currency's strength or weakness, because if you use that one, the ringgit is way, way over undervalued.
Okay. But, you know, Pankaj, currency is always somewhat a reflection of the confidence that investors have in the economy. So now we know that the ringgit is undervalued, but then what needs to be addressed for the ringgit to appreciate against, let's say, the US dollar and the Singapore dollar then?
I think it requires a structural reform, yeah, in terms of what Malaysia is doing, and if you compare with certain countries like Singapore or the US for that. Of course, the US you can't really compare other than the monetary policy divergence because it's the reserve currency of the world. But if you look at structural issues, Malaysia has been suffering because of, you know, we are not addressing structural issues related to education reforms, you know, where we are seeing brain drain or even attracting high quality investments. Yeah, we get high skilled workers coming to Malaysia. You know, these expatriates have high earning power. You know, they can, you know, generate economic activity. Yeah, increasing wages, of course, is another issue that Malaysia has been lacking. Yeah, if 50% of Malaysians are earning less than 2,100 ringgit a month, you know, we can never reach the high income status. Yeah, high income nation status. And of course, I think the key here is about our efforts to fight corruption. Yeah, both in the public and private sector. And I think one of the other things that I see that Malaysia should be very consistent is how we introduce public policies. Yeah, and these policies must be taken into consideration, you know, inputs from stakeholders. And of course, we shouldn't be flip-flopping on our public policies. That's another thing that will gain confidence of investors.
Pankaj, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was business commentator Pankaj C. Kumar helping us better understand the reasons behind the weakening ringgit and really talking about these structural long-term issues in our economy that are also underpinning ringgit weakness, and those need to be given attention alongside short-term factors like the rising interest rates on the Fed.
Yeah, I mean, we can't change the actions of the Federal Reserve, right? For sure, they are on a warpath against inflation. So you can expect, like what Pankaj says, 75 basis points on Wednesday, then another 75 in perhaps in November. Then they slow down to 50 basis points in December. So the interest rate differential between Malaysia and US will narrow. We will see some outflow. But I think in the longer term, we do need to address the issue as to why there's always been outflow of currency from our country to other, be it US. US or even the Sing dollar, for example. Because if we look at the fundamentals of the economy, and I'm looking here at Bloomberg, right, in terms of consensus, for 2022, we're expecting GDP of growth of 6.9%. And even the consensus exchange rate against the US, which they survey across a group of economists, is 4.15, which is not far from Pankaj's fair value of the ringgit. But yet, this morning, we are trading at 4.5487, and we are a net energy exporter. So our currency should be in a better position. So those things that he mentioned in terms of structural reform, they do need to take place. Mm. We need to have consistent policies. I think that's one thing. Clearer politics is probably another thing. And I don't know whether this is also a reflection of the fact that many of us are wondering when elections is going to be held, and there's that uncertainty hanging in the air.
And political uncertainty is never good for the economy, that's
any
for sure.
Any uncertainty, you know, investors just generally don't like. Politics is even probably harder to understand.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.